Welcome to GamerCast, episode 116.
And I'm Paul, and this is episode 116, recorded on the 18th of May, 2008.
Welcome to GamerCast. My elbow really hurts.
Why?
I've been riding my motorbike today. And,
you know, I've been riding my motorbike on my elbow?
Yeah. No, it went really back road, and I need a chopper so I can lean back, because leaning forwards on the handlebars does my elbows in after a while. It's cool, though. I needed a good ride. Because it's nice and sunny today.
Boo!
Shun. But it's not too warm. The wind's nice and cold, which is good.
Boo. Sun will kill you, dude.
It's evil.
I'm surprised, like, the Greens and all that don't start complaining about the sun and how it's destroying our planet. There wouldn't be any global warming if the sun wasn't there.
Yeah. It'd be global freezing.
Indeed. Right. Let's kick off with our letters. We received a few this week. Mr. Oxlow says, "Good show, guys. I really enjoyed it. Just a quick response at the moment. I will try to leave a longer one soon when I have more time. I think the show should stay the way it is at the moment, but it won't put me off listening to it if it does change." So that was in response to what we said last week.
Yeah, where I said make some noise and we might change.
About the format of the show, because some people were saying they wanted the shorter show. But Oxlow doesn't really care, but, you know, there's no point in changing it. We also got something from Bob Dude. Remember Bob Dude?
Bob Man. Bob Man's Emporium of Funny Accents.
Yeah, man.
That was a good episode.
Yeah, I saw Stuart today.
Oh, is he wandering around his lunch break?
Anyway, Bob Man says, "Great show. I say leave the show as it is, but edit it to the show the highlights that you normally list, then to have bits talking about each other. I said pad out for 10 minutes or so." I should read that again, really, shouldn't I?
Yeah.
I say leave the show as it is, but edit it to the show.
Edit it so that we...
edit it the highlights, that's what he's on about. Yeah. He's using too many, like, tiny words. Pad it out 10 minutes or so, then, which... then it could go on YouTube. As per Hawks, which is the Tom Clancy game,
Yeah. We
mentioned last week, no thanks. I get the feeling it will have rather bad controls and will be either very clumsy or very sensitive. Nah, maybe.
I must admit,
I'm not buying it.
Tom Clancy, very, very good when it comes to these military games, but this is, as far as I'm aware, the first one they've done that's about vehicles and not... a team or a man.
I've got a vehicle, man. My little trolley.
So I don't know. I'm a little bit cautious that this is either going to flop or it's going to fly.
Nah, it's going to flop.
Yeah.
Right. We also had one from Darth Ura.
Darth Ura.
Darth Ura, not Dark Ura.
It's a Dark Era.
Dark Era? Who's that? Okay, from now on, Darth Ura is officially Dark Era.
No, Dark Era is his brother.
Oh, okay.
Twice removed.
Okay, anyway, he says, "Well, I am downloading GamerCast again! Exclamation mark. I'm happy to hear the familiar, warm voice of Adam and Paul. I'm looking forward to your games, and I'm eager what will be said about my most anticipated games. Fable 2, Star Wars STU, what's that?"
I presume that's Force Unleashed, I would have thought.
What has he said, Star Wars STU?
Dunno.
STU. Save the Universe.
That's a new one on me.
Bioshock 2, Alan Wake, Heavy Rain, Alone in the Dark, and Borderlands. Laters, keep them thumbs happy! Exclamation mark.
My thumbs are happy.
That was good. It's good to hear from Mr. Ura again.
Mm-hmm.
After all, his name is why we now say hooray all the time. Hooray! Yeah. Anything you want to say about those games quickly?
Fable 2, definitely.
Fable 2, yeah, that rocks. Bioshock 2, maybe. Alan Wake, everybody wants it, but nobody knows when it's coming out. Heavy Rain, Catherine wants that.
Mm-hmm.
Alone in the Dark, yeah, probably crap. Borderlands, probably crap, never heard of it.
Star Wars.
Star Wars STU.
Not too sure what they're going on about. Save
the Universe, I don't know. Never heard of it.
But I must admit, I'm looking forward to Star Wars Unleashed, because that one is going to be absolutely amazing.
Star Wars Unleashed? That's that one, you numpty. STU, Star Wars Unleashed. That's got to be it.
Yeah, that's what I'm presuming. I'm presuming that's what he means. It's the only Star Wars game coming out. But
that's got to be it. It's got a U, Unleashed.
Yeah. But that looks good. The engine, the two engines they've locked in side by side.
Save the Unleashed. I don't know. Shall I Google STU and see what comes up?
Star Wars STU. Star Wars stuff. That's what it thinks we're trying to say.
No, that might be a typo, I guess.
No, it doesn't.
No, I've never heard of STU. Anyway, we'll assume he means Unleashed.
Yeah.
The one with the Force stuff.
Yeah, with the whole environment breaking and wood shattering like it
should
do blah, in Blast.
Yeah, blah. Yeah, we always hear that. Oh, the environment's blah blah blah, and the game always turns out to be crap.
I'm liking it just for the fact of the whole physics engine of the Force and the way the Force moves around it.
Physics of the Force.
Oh, it should be good. It'll look good.
I laugh at your pitiful Force.
Exactly. It's the bit where they hold it like they're doing the Force and they look like they've got a rheumatism in their fingers and they're having a fit.
Speaking of Star Wars,
mm-hmm.
I was going over what search terms people were using to hit GamerCast.net, and somebody was searching for the Star Wars Lego video in the canteen.
Oh, yeah, because we were talking about it and they...
Yeah. Good video.
Oh yeah. Penny out of trois, something like that, wasn't it?
Yeah, some crazy thing. I've never heard.
Do not need a trade to kill you. I will kill you with a Force.
Shall we put it on?
Yeah, go on.
Oh, YouTube.
It's great. My dad was telling me about it. I was like, nope, I've already been there. I've already seen it.
Canteen.
Recommended for you to watch.
Is that how you spell canteen? Came up anyway.
Yeah.
Don't think I've ever written canteen before. Here we go, funny video.
But there must have been a Death Star canteen, yeah? There must have been a cafeteria downstairs in between battles where Darth Vader could just chill and go down. I will have the penne alla arrabbiata. You'll need a tray. Do you know who I am? Do you know who I am? This is not a game of who the fuck are you. For I am Vader. Darth Vader. Lord Vader. I can kill you with a single thought.
But you'll still need a tray.
No, I will not need a tray. I do not need a tray to kill you. I can kill you without a tray, with the power of the Force, which is strong within me. Even though I could kill you with a tray if I so wished. For I would hack at your neck with the thin bit until the blood flowed across the canteen floor.
Now, the food is hot. You'll need a tray to put the food on.
Oh, I see the food is hot. I'm sorry. I did not realize. Oh, tray for the... Yes, I thought you were challenging me to the fight to the death.
Fight to the death? This is a canteen. I work here.
Yes, but I am Vader. I am Lord Vader. Everyone challenges me to a fight to the death. Lord Vader, Darth Vader, I'm Darth Vader, Sir Lord Vader of Cheam, Sir Lord Baron von Vaderham, the Death Star, I've run the Death Star.
What's the Death Star?
This is the Death Star, you're in the Death Star. I run this star,
this is the star,
this is a fucking star, I run it. I'm your boss.
You're Mr. Stevens.
Who is Mr. Stevens?
He's head of catering.
I'm not head of catering. I am Vader. I can kill catering with a thought.
What?
I can kill you all. I can kill me with a thought. Just... I'll get a tray. Fuck it. This one's wet. And this one's wet. And this one's wet. This one is wet. This one is wet. Did you dry these in a rainforest? Why? With the power of the Death Star, do we not have a tray that is fucking dry? I do not... No, no, no. I was here first.
You have to form a queue if you want food. Can I have penny arrabbiata? That'd be very nice. No. Do you know who I am? That's Jeff Vader, that is. I am not Jeff Vader, I'm Darth Vader. What, Jeff Vader runs the Death Star? No, I run the Death Star. You Jeff Vader? No, I'm Darth Vader. But you're his brother. Can you get his autograph? I can't get it. No, I'm Jeff... All right, I'm Jeff Vader. Can I have your autograph? No, fuck off. Or I'll kill you with a tray. Give me penny alla arrabbiata or you shall die. And you, and everyone in this canteen. Death by tray it shall be.
I love that.
Right, that's a good way of wasting a couple of minutes of the show. Right, let's get on with the news.
Okay.
Adam could talk about this.
In news,
is Adam's news items.
In news, over the weekend, people went nuts about the announcement of Metal Gear Solid 4, the awaited sequel to Konami's series about Solid
3. Awaited sequel to Metal Gear Solid 3.
Yes. Released on the Xbox 360. As we all know, it's an exclusive to Sony's PlayStation 3. And then it was announced as an admin error from apologies of the high street retailer HMV.
Okay, let me just redo that. Basically, HMV put Metal Gear Solid 4...
I was making it bigger.
They basically had it on their website and stuff. They had a pre-order thing so you could pre-order the 360 version of Metal Gear.
But what
who cares?
What they admitted...
Who cares? They make a mistake. It's cool, man.
It's cool. This caused a massive thing on the internet with people.
UK retailer.
Metal Gear Solid fans are going nuts on forums
joke.
Trying to find out, believing that
nobody
this was
likes
the
Metal Gear Solid.
I do.
Old man walking around ninja.
But, Konami still.
Kiwajima, or whatever his name is, admits that Japanese gaming is past them.
But it was basically a clerical error where someone was trying to put it on for pre-ordering whether you would like to find out any information in the future if Metal Gear Solid 4 ever did come out in the 360, would you want to know about it?
Nah.
And that's what they were attempting to do, but instead they ended up creating a pre-order for Metal Gear Solid 4 on the Xbox 360. So big mistake, and some people got happy. I didn't see it.
Who cares?
But,
do you care?
I don't care that it was a mistake. I would have been happier if it was true, because I'd like to own a copy of Metal Gear Solid 4.
Well, the thing is, you get all these people, all these fanboys on the internet, they jump to conclusions over one little thing, which one retailer puts on their thing. Hmm. When you see it on all retailers, then you take it seriously.
Exactly.
But
one.
I mean, that's, you know, that's just noise in the system. It's nothing.
But yeah, it's not. It's going to be out on PlayStation 3 only.
Couple
exclusive.
Of weeks.
Yep. And Konami, although there has been some rumours in Japan from members of Konami's team themselves, that they have hinted that it may not remain a single platform in the future.
If they want to stay in business, they can't keep it exclusive.
I'm guessing that this might actually be the last Metal Gear Solid, because it's probably going to bring the story to a conclusion, because of number 3 managed to get around the backstory. This is probably going to come to an end. So I wouldn't be surprised that it's going to end up being put onto another format, because they'll want to get as much money out of it as possible. What have you found?
Speaking of YouTube, should we play this now?
Yeah, go on then.
Yeah, okay. Since we're talking about the PS3, this is something Pete told me to look up when I was at work today. Basically, it's a song about...
The PlayStation 3?
The PlayStation 3, yes. How did you know? Right, it's 3 minutes, so if you don't want to hear it, just skip 3 minutes ahead.
Step one, you make your console cost the most. You beat your chest and proudly boast. Despite no good exclusive games, you make a bunch of ridiculous claims. Then ignore our need to play online. Don't make it fun like Xbox Live. Use Blu-ray, which I don't need. Now you're getting your ass kicked by the Wii. Sony, you went wrong. hope this song has helped you understand. Now you know how you killed your brand. Bill Harrison, yeah, you know best. Except you didn't fail a test. Sure, I can surf the net, but I can't find my gaming friends. Said Halo 3, don't worry you. Instead you offer Killzone 2. But Killzone 1 sucked before. So what made you think we wanted more? Sony, you went wrong with your PS3. I'll just keep playing my 360. Hope this song has helped you understand. Now you know how you killed your brand.
At PlayStation, what we have done successfully over the last 12 or 13 years is to we're going to do some things a little differently. We're going to I don't have any comment to make.
Sony, you went wrong with your PS3. I'll just keep playing my 360. Hope this song has helped you understand. Now you know how you killed your brand. Sony, you went wrong with your PS3. I'll just keep playing my 360. Hope this song has helped you understand. Now you know how you killed your brand.
Yeah, Phil, one question real quick. A lot of players say they want to be able to play online without jumping through a bunch of hoops. Do you have any plans to make the PlayStation 3 not suck as much when you go to play someone else online?
We know that that's a compelling feature for certain players in the certain segments of the audience. But as to specific plans or features, I don't have any comment to make.
Well, there you go, the PS3 song. That's quite well done, actually.
Yeah, it could be better. There's a few like different like remixes of it and stuff on there as well. So if you just search a PS3 song, because they've got like, you know, it makes more sense if you can see the stuff they're showing as well.
Yeah, well, that's quite good. Okay, next on the news, we touched on iPlayer a little bit more.
Yeah, on episode 114, we mentioned that iPlayer was coming to the Wii and that you could also play it on your PS3.
Yeah.
By going to a certain website and whatever.
But yeah, I read a bit more of an article about it where they're saying that BBC are really enjoying being able to work with Nintendo and pushing forward.
Work with Nintendo? They're not working with Nintendo. You just go to a website on it.
Well, they're changing it so that the format will work specifically for the Nintendo channel.
Yeah.
I'm not entirely sure.
I'm not holding my breath for that.
Yeah, from the looks of it, I don't think they're exactly...
It's not going to be around the corner. It'll be at least a few months.
Yeah, it looks like it might actually be a channel or something instead of it being something
That's eventually what they want to do. Instead of having to go to a web browser, type in a stupid address, and have it in this crappy little window in a web browser.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be used on Opera. From the looks of it, I think they're actually doing a player for the Wii that you would download to actually watch it specifically. I think that's what they're pushing towards, which seems a bit better. They're also saying that they've been working with Apple. They pushed out the beta software.
Well,
which
they announced they were doing that like a month ago.
Yeah, but no, it was they were announcing. The article was about the Wii, but they also said because they've also already done it with Apple. I didn't realize it's actually going on Apple TV as well. So the player is being pushed out onto Apple TV, so you can source straight through that as well, and on Apple Touch and iPhone.
There's one thing I'm getting a little annoyed about. You know, you say they're doing something on Apple TV. Surely the obvious thing to do would be to integrate it into iTunes so you could get it on anything connected to iTunes.
I was just reading off the article. I wouldn't be surprised if it's something in iTunes for you to use on Apple TV, because Apple TV just runs
because the thing is, for them to say on Apple TV, it doesn't, you know, Apple TV is just an extender for iTunes.
Yeah, so it probably means it's on
so
iTunes.
So why not just say iTunes?
Don't know. I'm gonna have to look into it.
Apple TV is a flop anyway. Nobody has that.
No, we've upgraded to Apple TV, the new one. Which
yeah, that's
is,
still a flop, and it's even worse.
Yeah,
it's slower than the original one, and it's.
Sarah looked at it. She was quite interested, but I said there is not enough stuff on there for us to warrant using it because
you're not using iTunes. If you use iTunes, you're banned from Gamercast.
Instead of having to use that, I have to force everything.
Chuck that thing out my window as well. You're not having that thing in here.
For iTunes, it's easier just to hook a laptop up to our TV and play everything through the laptop. So I can't see a reason.
Use your 360, mate, and don't use all this DRM evil Apple stuff. Yeah, let's put DRM on it so we lock you into our ecosystem forever. We're really funny. And people fucking put up with it. What a joke.
Well, there's no
and then we flip in, then we push Safari down through our update program. Yes, this program updates iTunes in QuickTime, which have security holes revealed like every week. And let's automatically push Safari down on everyone. Yeah, let's do that. Let's do the actions of a malware company. Let's install stuff on people's computers like with no prior warning or whatever. What a joke. The company should be killed. Microsoft, just stop pussyfooting around and get back to the good old days in the 90s when they went after a company and they buried it. Netscape, I'm looking at you.
As I was saying,
And you. And they should stop pussyfooting around with Sun. They should wipe Sun out. I'm fed up of Sun micro crappy systems and their crappy Java bollocks.
Yes, and that was a rant by Paul. Brought to you here at Gamercast in episode
160. It's not a rant, it's the truth.
He actually saying it now. I'm practicing saying 100 instead of 100.
Grats, man. You can speak properly like me and my epic skills with a Z. No, with a Z. With a Z, man.
Get an epic
Z for
get
our
an
US
epic vocabulary.
Listeners. Get an epic vocab, you nub.
I'm really funny, aren't I? There's no point in using my Xbox 360 for content. Because the only computer we've got is Sarah's computer that's running Vista at the moment, and there's no point streaming information from a laptop to an Xbox 360.
Why not?
When the laptop will be in the living room, we might as well just put it on the floor and plug it straight into the TV. It's quicker. But, we don't have any use for it at the moment, but unless we're the way that the living room's set up, we probably will do something later.
Since we briefly touched on Xbox 360 and streaming content, as some of you have probably...
Before we go on to this, you just paste that in, I just want to finish off. I have had a go on the actual iPlayer beta for the iPhone. I was quite impressed, it actually comes through quite clearly. I was liking it. Basically, they've integrated the same system.
How well does it work over your GPRS/Edge connection?
You're not supposed to use it on
that. You're no good for that. How convenient. Oh, look, you've got this phone, right? But the only way you can watch our stuff is if you go in range of your wireless network.
Well, it's the same thing with YouTube.
Dude, get a faster phone. The HTC Touch Diamond is 7.2 megabits per second download.
Let me finish. I can watch...
Pwned.
I don't know. I might be able to use it, but...
Pwned.
On standard download, it won't use YouTube. It automatically turns it off. On Edge Network, I can use YouTube, but it's not. It's about as crystal
Whoa.
Clear. It's about as crystal clear as it is on my PC. And then if I... On Wi-Fi, it actually goes crystal clear. It changes on two different bandwidths. So it automatically downloads a better version.
YouTube have now got two quality levels. If you look on some of their videos now, they have a high quality link as well, which is good.
But yeah, the player is the same thing. Now I actually want to have a go and see if it will actually run on Edge, because I don't have Edge in near the flat, but obviously I use my Wi-Fi connections. But when I go to work on Monday, I'm going to try the iPlayer and see if it will play at work where I've got Edge, and see if it will download a worse version. But it depends. YouTube do. The lower grade quality for allowed you to download, where iPlayer might not actually allow that, so I'll have to have a go. But the system works exactly the same, where it gives you the picture with the little blue play button in the right hand corner. As soon as you do that, it loads straight through QuickTime onto the iPhone.
QuickTime, the crappiest media. Look, I bought myself this new shiny Mac. Oh crap, I have to pay $30 for the proper media program. I'm such a sucker. My media player doesn't work in full screen. Because the Mac is designed for media, you can't even play full screen. And you also can't play region-free DVDs. Oh, that's a shame, isn't it? Unless you region-lock your drive. That's a shame, isn't it? A bit silly, if you ask me.
You sound like Cartman on South Park.
Yeah, man. I have to practice doing more additional voices for my other podcasts I'm doing, such as GamerCast Epic Edition.
Epic Edition. Is it like a...
My name is Dunindal. I am from Donas. Okay. Yeah, it's basically a podcast of me in lots of different voices being really funny.
Cool. I like that. I might subscribe.
Yeah, work today was really insane. It's done my head in.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, there was some guy... We're just squeezing one more thing. There was some guy. He came up to Sophie. He said, I'd like to return this game. So my eyes go... Look at the game. It was Grand Theft Auto 4. And so she says, blah, blah, blah. He basically said... No, wait. What did he say? I'd like to return this game. I can't play it because it's too dark. So, you know, they natter back and forth. And I'd button and say, do you know there's an option in video settings to up the brightness? And he says, yeah, I tried that, but it's all shadowy and dark. I can't play it. And I just walked away at that point. It was the PS3 version, and to be fair, we have had two people bring back the PS3 version today.
Yeah. I found mine really dark, and I couldn't see the character, and I just closed the curtains. And I was kind of like, oh, that's better.
Well, the thing is, at night time, it's dark anyway.
Yeah.
And if you're under, like, the railway tunnels and stuff, it's dark there anyway because it's in shadow.
Yeah, it's dark. It's realism. It's not like, oh, the sky's night, but you can still see.
Wow.
It's all like Grand Theft Auto 3.
I don't have a problem with the brightness on my TV. It looks fine.
Yeah, it looks fine.
It looks dark at night time. Because yeah. It's supposed to be dark, but I can still see.
It adds that element to about night time, you can't see, and driving's a little bit more, whoa, full beam on, shit, you can see the headlights, and oh my god, that's a wall, not a blooming entrance, and poof, out you go through the front windshield.
Maybe
and the cops
you do
turn.
That because you're a bit of a nut.
Although I'm pretty good with handbrake turns. Bit overlock, power slide around.
Oh yeah, funny story as well. Somebody else who brought back the PS3 version, I won't say who he is. Because he might listen to this show, but have you done the mission where you have to save Roman from two guys at the basketball court place?
Oh yeah, where they're
and you basically have to beat up these two guys and then, you know, chase after some dude. Well, this guy, right, he died 6 times trying to beat the people up.
Okay, you can
6 times. You shouldn't even die once, because let's face it, they were really easy. They're probably easier than pedestrians on the street, those people you have to beat up.
He's probably running around just jabbing the X button, or the B button and the Y button, and not actually doing anything. Pull the left trigger, read what it says in the top left hand corner, pull the left trigger and you lock on, and you just smack the crap out of those buttons and the person will die.
But yeah,
press
I think
A to dodge.
I
it's
think,
simple.
Dude, I think it's strange that people are bringing back the PS3 version in such a... It's too dark, I can't play it. I felt like smacking the guy. This is GTA 4, one of the best games of the year. And you're moaning because it's dark when it's nighttime. Duh.
Sorry.
Duh.
Oh, I had a go at getting onto the second island, and I managed to get all the way to the other end of the second island, and I was continually being chased by cops. It always keeps resetting the 6 stars wherever you are, because I get out of the zone, I should get to the point where they would let me go, and then it resets back on top of me again, and more police cars, but they could never get me because I was going high speed on a sports bike down the subway. And eventually I got, right, I'm bored, I'm going to eventually pop back out on the original island I was on. So I got off the bike, went up, and I ended up against a wall with a shotgun, shooting police, working my way up these corridors, and I nearly got to the entrance to get back up onto upstairs. And
did
some
you
guy,
get the one-man army achievement?
Don't know, I might have that.
That's what I'm trying to get at the moment. I think it's survive for 5 minutes while having a 6-star wanted rating.
Oh, I might be able to do that just by doing laps of the
I think I was just about 30 seconds short of doing it.
Okay, if anybody wants to get over to the island and have an attempt at being chased, because you will just get obliterated by the cops, but it is quite fun to see how long you last. So far I've worked out, if you go to the north island that you're allowed onto...
Ooh, excuse me?
Get a motorcycle, go up to the bridge, and get onto the pavement on the other side, and there are no police on there, and there are no bollards. And see if you can get all the way across. I pretty much can get all the way across, and I had a bit of a tumble, skidded my back wheel out, and I got headshotted on the other side of the road. The other one is the middle bridge going across. If you go up to the police, then turn back on yourself, and as you're coming along, head back to the far left-hand side and come off one of the side entrances off the bridge. As you're doing that, you keep looking over the edge, you'll eventually see the railway that goes underneath where you are.
That's
and
what
goes
I was
under
doing.
The bridge.
My strategy was to go up there through the walkway, drive across until you get the sixth star, and then at the end of that bit, there's a little hidey place where you can hide for a minute or two.
Yeah, so what I was doing is, as you come back down, keep your eye on this, and eventually the railroad will go up above you on a bridge. Go underneath and keep following it until you eventually come to a building as it goes over. And this is one that doesn't have stairs going up to the track. It's actually got a wheelchair access, so you can drive the bike up with great ease, get drop down onto the platform, make sure you are on the right hand side, otherwise you'll come head on with a train. And you have to keep clicking the back button to make sure you're not being chased by a train. But I don't think there are any trains going that way, because it does go to the other island. They're not unlocked yet. And then just ride across, and eventually it'll take you under the bridge. And you can pretty much get halfway across the bridge before the police cotton onto you. And then they'll chase you. But the railway does not come back up onto the top. It is only on the top on that island. On the other island, it's all subway. So you're underneath and the police won't come down. So you can just start doing laps. So that might be a way of being able to get that achievement
We're trying that using Adam's strategy of following the train. Right, anyway, to get back on topic, what I was going to mention, Xbox 360 Spring Update rumours.
Mm-hmm.
There's a list appeared, basically. Email. A list appeared, which I have here. So yeah, this humongous list of features, it's hundreds of items long, but there are a few key things which stuck out. The big one for Gamercast is the ability to subscribe to RSS feeds on the Xbox 360.
That's cool.
So that'd be good if you could, just tell the Xbox 360 to look at our feed and it will pull down our episodes as they're released. That's good, and I think it will increase our listenership somewhat.
Mm.
But there's also another thing of being able to install games onto the hard drive.
Xbox 360 games.
But Microsoft have obviously come out and said, we've never seen this list before, blah, blah, blah. So if it's just cooked up by some dude. Because the install thing, listening to podcasts, sure, that's not hard to do. But installing games, Microsoft have been very wary about letting people do that.
Yeah.
But a lot of the other options on there are, pretty standard stuff.
I think what they ought to do...
Calibration for motion sensing devices. It's not surprising. Things like that. Word sensor update.
Going back to the hard drive and games being loaded on there, what I would like is if they went the same way as PC, where if you wanted to, you could load the game on, and on a random occasion, they would not let that game play on the Xbox 360, like a security check, and you had to shove the disc in.
Well, I would imagine you still have to put the disc in.
Yeah. It would be nice if you could get away with just being able to load the game and play it off the
because
hard drive without the disc.
Because getting to the point of being able to play the game on the hard drive without the disc in the drive, that's a bit radical.
Yeah. But it would be quite cool, and then just have an update check where you've got to put the disc in to prove you still have the game, and if you can't provide the disc, then it automatically... deletes the game off your hard drive, so you can get away with
maybe
having
after
it for
maybe after a few attempts of not having the disc of all that.
But it wouldn't let you play it there and then unless you provide the disc to stop people. You borrow a disc off your mate, you install it, you give it back, and for a week and a half you're playing this game every day, all day, and as far as you're concerned, it's free. You've not paid for it, and then poof, it won't let you put it in. And it not involves the game, and then eventually deletes it if you can't.
I think if they did that, game developers would be extremely annoyed.
Yeah, but there's no difference from sharing the game with a friend. It would force you to want to go buy it yourself. But yeah, it would be quite nice if maybe in the in between they allowed you to install the game or part of the game onto the hard drive to play it off the hard drive, so that the game ran faster, as such, not playing off disk. But something for the future.
Yeah, maybe. But like I said, just rumours at the moment.
Mm.
Microsoft also showed off a number of their games over the last week.
Mm-hmm.
They showed some footage of Gears of War 2, which looks...
amazing.
Yeah. We're only watching it on YouTube because I didn't have time to download the decent quality one before the show. But yeah, it looks really good.
Yeah.
It's obvious things which strike you, much bigger environment. You know, Gears of War, it was really more of a corridor shooter. You're in corridors, indoor, or, you know, in a tiny little courtyard and things like that. This is much bigger. They showed one of the levels and it's like huge. You've got forests off in the distance.
Well, we did watch that video from the showing of the new Quake and Unreal Engine, and they're going on about the fact that now you would be able to have more locusts in one shot than they ever had before.
I was just about to talk about that. Well, yeah, but back a few months ago, maybe even the six, nine months ago, whenever, they showed some new footage of the Unreal Engine.
Of what?
Is it version 4 now? I don't know.
I think so, and it was as if what Gears of War 2 could look like as such, of what it probably will
yeah,
look like.
Yeah, they basically took Gears of War 1 content.
Yeah, and put it with this engine.
Put it in the engine and then, you know, did some stuff with it. And, you know, one of the scenes from the video they showed had maybe a few dozen locusts on screen, like hanging around doing their stuff. And yeah,
looks
really
amazing.
Good. You've got a chainsaw drawing now, so you can, like, if you catch somebody, you can fight them with your chainsaw.
Which is pretty cool.
Which I imagine will just work a bit like Call of Duty, where you had to press the triggers alternatively if you're struggling with a bloke. I don't imagine it would be anything too fancy,
no.
Or else it would annoy everyone. But that looks good. They showed off some Fable 2 stuff as well.
Yeah.
And yeah, usual stuff. Viva Pinata 2 was announced as well.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be shipping this year. Ninja Gaiden as well.
Yeah, seen that.
That's next month or something, isn't it?
One thing that I'm quite happy has been advertised quite a lot is a return...
Return to Castle Wolfenstein.
Not a return to this platform, but a return to the good old Japanese anime favourite of mine, Dragon Ball Z.
What? We're talking about the flipping... What Microsoft just announced.
I just wanted to jump this in. Microsoft have advertised it on the dashboard now. One of my mates noted me about it. A new Dragon Ball Z game's coming out, and it's coming out for the 360. It looks like, I think it's an exclusive to 360.
Whoopee, I'm looking forward to that.
Instead of being PlayStation 2 and Wii, it's been pushed out onto 360, which is cool. So I'm looking forward to that.
Get a real console. Also in the news, well, there's a lot of news this week, isn't it? I saw an article, well, I didn't see an article in the Daily Tory at all. I was pointed to an article in the Daily Tory. Basically, the Daily Mail are having to go at Nintendo because Wii Fit called a 10-year-old girl fat. That is not a picture of the girl, by the way. So yeah, obesity experts today slammed Nintendo after its Wii Fit game told a 10-year-old girl she was fat. Well, maybe she was. They fear the game could damage children's body image and called on the company to warn parents it is not suitable for their offspring. So what they're basically demanding is like an 18 certificate on Wii Fit, because it's impolite, apparently.
Alright, let me put this across. If your kids play Wii Fit and it's telling them that they're overweight, and normally this would be telling an full-grown adult that they're overweight, I would worry your kid probably is fat and is probably very obese and needs to lose some weight. So just leave them with the Wii thing.
Well, the thing is, how the Wii Fit measures your... how large you are is by... you enter your height into it. You know, you say, you know, how old you are and all that. And then it takes... You basically... Because you can work out what the average weight is of the population and so on.
Exactly.
So I'll just read the article. Once a player has entered their height, the game uses BMI, a measure of body fat based on the adult's height and weight, to calculate their level of obesity, placing them in categories such as underweight and fat. Players can then be guided through yoga exercises or play games to improve their balance. However, a father from the southeast spoke today about embarrassment when his stepdaughter played the game and was labelled fat. She is perfectly healthy. 4'9" tall, 10-year-old, who swims, dances and weighs only 6 stone, said the father, who did not want to be named for fear of embarrassing the girl forever.
Well, I was 8 stone when I was 16.
See, I don't know. I don't know what this stone stuff is. I can't imagine how heavy a stone is.
Yeah, I've always been measured in stone, and I must admit I was underweight for my age because I always had blood pressure problems.
Apparently I'm underweight now, and look at this. Right.
Yes, you're a real blob.
Yeah, man, it's hanging off me. Right. So anyway, he says, she is solidly built but not fat. She was devastated to be called fat, and we had to work hard to convince her she isn't. Honestly.
Mm.
So yeah, the game also has higher categories like obese and, like, you know, blimp, I imagine, as well. Yeah, we should, you should put two people on there and see what it says about that. But I mean, you know, it just uses the BMI figure, which isn't reliable anyway, so, you know, there's obviously variables in it, like how, because people are built differently and it's not necessarily fat. Let's just find something decent here. Oh yeah, Tam Fry of the National Obesity Forum called for children to be banned from playing the game, claiming the BMI measurement was misleading. I'm absolutely against that children are being told they are fat. What if they are fat? You know, for God, talk about kicking up a fuss over nothing.
Mm.
Honestly.
Fair enough, there is like a height weight ratio, and you're either you're overweight or you're underweight for your height. You're not fat, you're just, that ratio will determine whether or not your blood pressure goes up and down, and that's what they should be really going off. Because,
well, your blood pressure, how are they going to measure that?
No, it's an estimate that your blood pressure would be higher or lower, because everybody on average is a certain weight compared to a certain height, but it's only on an average of what you should be in, and it is a band of where you should be in. Because I was always below the band, but now I'm inside the band, because I weigh 13 stone.
13 stone, you fat bastard. Right, anyway, so that's a bit ridiculous. Banning kids from playing the game? Who cares, honestly? You know, sure, maybe the game shouldn't call people fat, but let's actually see if they are fat first. Instead of saying solidly built, which is just a polite way of saying, yeah, my daughter's really fat. So let's have some data here before we start whinging about everything. More Wii news. The Wii has outsold the PS3, the 360, the PS2, and the PSP combined in April.
Really?
Yeah. It was a roller coaster ride in April. So yeah, it sold more than all of them put together.
But I'd like to add there, we are not saying that that means the Nintendo Wii is better than an Xbox 360. What we're saying is...
Well, of course it isn't.
What we're saying
this is... This is an official Xbox 360 fanboy show.
Nintendo...
Apart from when Adam starts going on about how awesome Sony are and their beloved Metal Gear.
Let me finish. It's not Sony that make it.
Whatever.
Metal Gear. Nintendo's idea was Nintendo. To be able to give this to people other than gamers, which means that these consoles are being bought by people other than people who would own a video games console.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing.
It's
the Wii,
getting a bigger market.
The Wii, huge sales, fantastic success. It saved Nintendo from being wiped out.
If the Wii didn't work, I don't even know if the company would have to downsize to sit on
their Well, the company would
DS.
Just sit on their DS stuff.
And that would be it.
But yeah, I mean, you know, a huge success. But the thing is, you buy one, you get bored of it after a month or two.
I've played on mine in months. Really
and, you
haven't.
Know, your mates come round, and you say, oh, let's see this, wave hands around, and then all your mates go and buy one, and then they get bored after a month.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not really...
I must admit, I think...
Xbox 360 has an average attachment ratio of 8 games per console. That's the highest ever.
I think the problem was, I had an Xbox 360 with 2 games. I had a Wii with lots of games, and I had loads and loads of mini games. And then I got all my consoles stolen, and I ended up having them replaced.
Here we go.
And I bought more games from Xbox 360, and I could not be bothered to go back and buy
you
all those.
You couldn't be bothered with the Wii.
Yeah. Yeah, it was kind of ruined for me because I had to go back of those games again, and they just kind of lost. I really lost interest in starting from the beginning again. So, and also the fact that I had bought all of those mini games from NES and SNES and so on, and I couldn't be refunded for those from Nintendo. So, I just not bothered using it anymore. I really have lost interest in it. But I will not get rid of it for the fact that I know something good may come out in the future, and I will not be deprived from playing Legend of Zelda. Right, next. Stop falling asleep.
Hello. Oh, Sony's 2008 lineup.
Yes,
you
found this.
You can talk about this. I'm not really bothered about
it. I just got it because I find it funny. Right, they've announced their...
So yeah, in response to Microsoft unveiling all their AAA titles they're bringing out this year.
Yeah.
Like Gears of War 2, Fable 2, and Viva Pinata 2.
Mm-hmm. Sony have announced their list. We've got the PlayStation Network titles, which I presume these are the online ones, I'm guessing, or something like that. I don't know. It's kind of...
Oh, God. Are these spelt wrong on purpose?
I don't know. So you've got Wipeout HD.
Which is... Dude, can I just point this out? You've got Wipeout on the list. The whole name of the game is in lowercase, except the middle E, which is in uppercase.
Yeah, weird.
You know, when I was at school, we were taught to capitalize the first letter...
That's out in the summer. And then you got L-Funk.
What's that about?
I haven't a clue. Pixel Junk Eden. I haven't a clue. Siren Blood Curse. Then on PSP titles, you've got Hot Shots Golf Open T2. You've got Secret Agent Clark. And you've got NBA 09 and Buzz Master Quiz. Oh, God, they're still bringing that back. Although that is on PSP, but why do you want to play Buzz on PSP? Don't know.
Yeah, how's that going to work? You want to have your PSP and you put like a big red button over the X button and that's your buzzer.
Yeah, I broke my PSP because I'm playing Buzz. PlayStation 2 titles, they're still releasing them. We got NBA 09, like on the PSP.
Got a few things on PS3.
PS3, you've got SOCOM.
US Navy SEALs confrontation, lame.
So that's another
sequel. Nobody wants to fight as the US imperialists.
Another sequel. Little Big Planet.
Looks interesting.
Yeah.
If it doesn't suck.
NBA 09. Yes, I've repeated myself for the third time. Buzz Quiz TV.
Again.
MotorStorm Pacific Rift. Another sequel. Resistance 2.
Crap.
Another sequel. Killzone 2.
February. So,
another
sequel. Although Sony announced this is their 2008 lineup, they sneak Killzone 2 on there, which is next year.
And also the fact that they're all sequels. They're all some of this come out before.
Well, you know, to be fair, a lot of things are sequels now.
Yeah. But.
When was the last time we had a really big IP which took off? Gears of War. Mm. And now we're getting a sequel for that. That was quite big. Well, Viva Pinata was big as well, I suppose.
Yeah.
What piece? Supreme Commander. I suppose that was a good IP, which sort of appeared out of nowhere.
See, good thing is, we're going to be seeing probably in 2000... I'm thinking late 2008, mid 2009, we're going to start seeing some stuff from Ubisoft for the next game in the line of the three for Assassin's Creed. Well, that will probably be coming out soon. So.
Assassin's Creed 2. Assassin's Creed 3. Assassin's every year.
Yeah, I think
Assassin's Creed 2008. Assassin's Creed 2009. Assassin's Creed 2010. Assassin's Creed 2011.
It was already designed as a sequel game before it came out, and like some of the other ones.
Well, that's the thing. If you want to stay in business now, you have a successful. You bet your money on making this really successful game, and then you milk it for as long as possible.
Yeah.
Ubisoft really did that with the Splinter Cell series.
Yeah. But the difference with the Splinter Cell series, it wasn't until it took off that they actually made the storyline follow so that it may continue on. Where this one, the ending of the game, it doesn't end. It's kind of like to be continued, to carry on. So it was an intention that it was going to be a whole series. But yeah, that's pretty disappointing from Sony. It's just kind of like you would have thought they're kind of trying to start pulling things out of the bag. And for the sequel to MotoStorm...
Terrible.
Resistance 2 and Killzone 2.
It's like they've just chucked it out now because they've got nothing else.
Yeah, it's like...
You know, neither of them were particularly good games. I mean, Little Big Planet is the only interesting thing they've got, really.
Yeah. Because it's been really quiet. I'm not hearing, without having to look, anything about Metal Gear Solid.
Metal Gear Solid.
Is it out now?
No, it's dead. Dinosaur. Nobody cares about it.
Because that's their big thing, that was their baby, but it's just... Oh dear.
Anyway, one last item.
Mm-hmm.
Worldwide Telescope.
Worldwide Telescope. Wasn't expecting that. Go on then. What's the Worldwide...
We talked about this before, didn't we? When it was announced.
Yes, I do believe something about it, yes.
Yeah, let's just check the show notes to make sure. Worldwide Telescope. Yep, we talked about this on episode... 116, which is today's. Okay.
We may have talked about it in passing. It might not have been in the show.
Maybe I talked about it with you and not on the show.
Yeah.
Here we go. This is it's Spring Beta version is out.
This was the thing with the video with the guy talking about it. I remember you not showing me anything about it other than a video with the guy going on about it. That's all I remember. And you being able to zoom in, and they've detailed each zoom in for... Is this the same thing?
Yeah, this is the Worldwide Telescope.
So it's collating all the information of all the different parts, and you can zoom in and actually see everything properly and stuff.
Yeah, so let's just put the orb constellation stuff on. You'll notice how like really smoothly it all fades in and put the ecliptic.
So where is this? This is Microsoft's Worldwide Telescope. So this is a beta, I presume.
Spring preview.
Spring preview.
Now, AKA beta.
Can you get this straight off the net?
Yep, worldwidetelescope.org.
Right.
Really cool application. As you can see, it's like, you know, smoothly flows around everything. You can see all the constellations up here.
So obviously the camera is rotating as if it's being positioned anywhere on Earth. If that's your point of view.
Yeah, but you can also specify your location and see what's visible above the horizon at that time.
Okay.
As well, so you can do all that sort of stuff. What name a constellation that you know?
Orion.
Orion. Here. So there's Orion.
Yeah, let's have a look at the center of his belt.
That's that. We can show a picture here.
That's cool. So it gives you lots of stock footage in that area.
Well, yeah, basically what you've together. Got.
Because you can see that it looks like loads of people have taken the pictures and it's all been stitched together.
Yeah,
but it does.
The default imagery for the entire sky is done with the Digital Sky Survey, which was, I don't know, it was done like 20 years ago. Mm. But they just took pictures of everything over the sky.
Yeah.
They originally shipped it in 19... It was 95 or 96, and it came on 102 CD-ROMs.
Yeah.
That was how much, you know, imagery there are. This one here, like, overlaid on it is a Hubble image.
Right.
So you've got
detail.
Hubble images, yeah. But you can switch to, say, hydrogen alpha views.
That's cool. I remember showing this where it all goes red and stuff.
Or dust maps.
Which makes it more interesting because you're really getting a good view
of
what's happening
out
there.
You can look at the belt, and you can switch it to a different wavelength. That's a bit overexposed there. Or you can see the cosmic microwave background.
I got one for you to have a look at. The plough. That's the plough?
Yep.
Oh, right, so that's the extra bit of the plough.
Eris Major is the name of the constellation.
The second knuckle on the pan, that one there, with the eye test you were on about with the orbiting... Oh, there it is. Yeah, because Paul was telling me about this. If you look at the plough, where really what you automatically pick out is that box shape with the handle on the end, where everyone goes, it looks like a fry.
They call it the Big Dipper in America.
Yeah. Well, on the bend of like the knuckle of the arm that comes off the pan as you look at it.
This is astronomy cast.
Yeah. Paul was telling me that you can actually see an extra.
This is a double star.
Yeah. So and you said that if you can see it with your naked eye, then it shows that you've got good vision, where if you cannot pick it up and you only see one.
Alcor and Mizar, I think you pronounce it.
Oh, that's cool. So when you click on one, you actually get a full information.
Oh, hell yeah. You can drag the thing around, point it at things like that, and you can quickly get images of it, look it up on Wikipedia.
But you're also getting your... point. So if you looked at something interesting, you're like, okay, that looks really interesting.
See, there's a galaxy there.
You could get you could put in where you are, and it would give you the information of how many degrees and stuff, so you could find it in the sky.
Yeah. It's all on there.
So you get all the degrees and everything like that. Well, that's a good bit of software, actually.
So this is good stuff.
It must admit, if you were always one of those people who were kind of like, you're not into astronomy, but it fascinates you. It's one of those things you don't know much about. And the idea of spending a lot of money, because your telescope, your Russian telescope, isn't it? It costs quite...
My Soviet-era telescope made from recycled T-34 tanks.
It's quite a lot of money. It's an expensive bit of kit.
A few hundred quid.
Exactly. No one's going to go out and spend that much money if they're not really going to give it a good go, where this allows you to get a good bit of astronomy. Fair enough, you go out with a pair of binoculars and have a look around. Paul tells me where to look in the sky on a text message now and again and say, stare there, wait 5 minutes and you'll see something fly overhead, if it's the space station or something like that, or a shuttle or a satellite or whatever. But at least with this piece of software, you get to experience what most people don't experience in an actual proper telescope with all the equipment, or at least what you would use with a telescope at home.
And of course, if you've got a really cool telescope, you can hook this application up to it and it can control your telescope.
Really?
Yeah.
Ah, so cool. So people who have got state-of-the-art, really cool.
People who have got computerized telescopes, it uses the ASCOMA driver interface.
Oh, cool. So you
which
could
is like an open driver interface. You can there's the Rosetta Nebula there. It's quite nice.
Cool thing to have, like with your tablet, and hook it all up, and you could just sit there and it would go around as you want to look at certain things.
Yeah, it's a really beautiful application as well.
And I must admit, it looks really nice and seems to be working really well. Not that buggy.
Plus, there's guided tours on it. Let's just see if I can. There's one by a 6-year-old on here, and I felt like slapping the kid because he said all these things which are totally wrong. That's the one. This is some 6-year-old kid who thinks he knows everything.
Hi, my name is Benjamin. I am 6 years old and I live here.
Oh my god, it's at level 2. Oh, sure,
actually,
tell us where you live.
I live over here in a big city called Toronto. On clear nights when I look up in the sky, I see something like
This.
The tour I want to take you on is of the Ring Nebula, which Wikipedia, the Free Encyclopedia, also calls M57. I don't know what that means, really, but I think it's like...
M57 refers to the Messier catalog, put together by Charles Messier, a French astronomer, a while ago. It composes about 110 like objects, which is really good for amateur astronomers. Let's continue.
The tour I want to take you on is of the Ring Nebula.
Yeah, you already said
which
that.
Which Wikipedia, the Free Encyclopedia...
Blah, blah,
the Ring
blah.
Nebula is in the constellation of Lyra. Lyra is also where the brightest star in
so
the sky...
So we just pause it a moment.
Okay, he just said the brightest star in the sky was in Lyra.
The Ring Nebula
Pay
is
attention.
In the constellation of Lyra. Lyra is also where the brightest star in the sky is. This star is called... Vega.
And what is it really?
Well, for a start, the star is pronounced Vega.
Ah, good old Vega.
Secondly, it's not the brightest star in the sky.
Is that what we call the North Star, Vega, or is the North Star the actual?
This was fairly close to the North Pole about 6,000 years ago, I want to say, because the Earth wobbles. But no, the pole star is up here.
Right. So the pole star
but the brightest star in the sky is Sirius, which is down this way. There.
That's pretty bright.
Yeah, you can see it reflecting on the image.
Just as an outside point of view for talking about the software, one of the cool things is Paul's got going across the top of this view of the whole of space a little play button for...
Yeah, you can quickly skip through all the scenes.
Yeah. Now, this piece of software, obviously he's done this. How could you do this? Could you load one yourself and create it and move around?
I've half made a tour already.
Yeah.
You can just create a new tour, specify, blah, 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 give it a name, blah, blah, blah. And then basically...
Add your slides and you
add a slide. It captures that. You can then go and point somewhere else up here. Add that as a slide and it will make a smooth animation automatically and everything. So if we play that now... It will show you that for 10 seconds, I think, is the default time. And then it will move on. And when you're in a tour, you can, you know, right-click on things when it stops panning. So you can put together your own tools really easily.
That's quite a good piece.
It's a really good application, and it is now on my default install list for all Windows computers. It's on that computer, it's on that computer, it's on the computer downstairs, it's everywhere. Because this application is really cool.
No, I must admit, I think it is very cool for the fact that even if you just wanted to go have a look, it seems it's a very nice GUI interface of being able to just grab the mouse and swing around your view and then click on different things, different views.
I mean, what a lot of people are saying is, Google Sky, Google Sky. Have you played with Google Earth or Google Sky?
No, I can't be bothered to download it.
It's like this really clunky looking 1995 application with like a menu bar with like a billion options, which are all completely useless, and this thing down the side, and it's, you know, ugh. But this is, you know, really awesome. It's got way more data in it. It's really
it looked impressive when you showed me the video in the first place.
The thing is, if, you know, for example, you see a Hubble image released, you can quickly go to Hubble Images, and you know the Hubble Deep Field with like all the really far away galaxies. Well, you could quickly find that and see where in the sky it is. I can't see it on there, so let's search Deep Field. There we go. And you can actually see where in the sky that was.
So it's,
because, you know,
that's
normally
cool. It's automatically panning the camera around and zooming in to the area.
Yeah, normally, you know, you see this picture up on a press release, it gives you the coordinates or maybe the constellation, but you can see where it is.
And also the fact that that looks pretty impressive, but if you zoom all the way out from holding on that position,
you really get to see how tiny.
That is basically looks like a speck on the screen, and you at least get to see, it's between that constellation and
so
that
constellation. There was another one up here in your plough, which was taken as well. I think this is the first one they did. So that's cool. It's got, altogether, there's about 12 terabytes of information up on that server.
No, that's quite a good piece of software. Free to download. Would you think it's going to continue to be free once the beta is over?
Yes.
So it's going to be open to the entire population of the world to be able to see what's outside of the planet?
Yes. And, you know, before someone said, oh, Google Sky does that. Like I said, Google Sky does not stand
the interface looks really nice.
You know, this, it's smooth. It's got way more images, way more pictures.
Right, first question. Does this require the internet to run it?
Yes.
So all of the content is
all,
on the internet?
All of the images are stored up in the cloud. But, I mean, if you wanted to...
Which is quite cool, because it means you're not having to have this bulk amount of data
well,
stored.
Well, yeah, otherwise
onto...
you'd have to download this 11 terabyte, you know, install. Yeah. But it does cache everything to your local drive. So, for example, it's cached 700 megabytes of data to my drive.
Right.
But if, for example, I went offline now, I could still get all the cached data.
Mm-hmm.
So if I killed the internet, all this, you know, would still be up here.
But I
wouldn't be able to download any new images for like this bit of sky here.
Yeah, where it starts to be.
So that's good, like especially for something like a tour, because you can tell it to just do a tour, and it will go ahead and cache all that data in, and then you can, you know, if you're on a mobile machine or whatever.
Yeah.
Or I mean, you could just, you know, tell it to do a slideshow of all the Hubble images, let it go ahead and cache everything.
Yeah. That's quite a good piece of software, that. Good find.
Worldwide Telescope, worldwidetelescope.org. It receives my rating of 5 out of 5, and a GamerCast rating of 0 out of 5, because it is not a game.
I suppose you can make some sort of little play game. Who can find the
Who can find something first? And all you have to do is go to search.
Yeah.
Right.
You've got this kid, the 7-year-old kid is like, who can you find this first? And he's going, yeah, it's over here, under this country, zoom. There you go. Pull, on your marks, get set, go. Type, enter. Yeah, one.
Oh, a few negative points.
Oh, negative points, okay.
One, it doesn't work properly if your screen is set to 120 dpi. Which isn't a problem because nobody is, but I was trying it out, and if you set it to 120 dpi, this disappears for some reason, your little constellation map, like showing you where you're on the sky, and you lose some of this up here.
Okay.
So that's quite annoying. Other problems with it?
How well does it work on your other computers, like the tablet? Is the tablet running pretty smoothly?
Microsoft have really over recommended the specs. They recommend 2 gigs of RAM and all this stuff, when actually the application is actually using 300 meg of RAM at the moment. But it runs okay on the tablet. It doesn't run perfectly, and it does, you know, when you're whizzing round, it does stutter a bit, but it's perfectly usable and everything.
That's cool, that.
And that's, you know, obviously a low-end machine, which is way below the recommended and minimum specs.
No, I'm very impressed. Might have to get a copy myself.
Yes, you will.
Right, I think that's all of us for today.
That's GamerCast episode 116.
With a bit of
with a bit of astronomy stuff because I'm in a sort of nerdy astro mood at the moment.
Yeah, and it's a good piece of
software. Oh yeah, P.S. I will have to kidnap you at some point and we can go astro picturing again.
Although I don't have a car to get us anywhere.
Oh, you and your stupid motorbike.
Yeah, because we'll get a little trailer and attach
it. We can get a tray, yeah, and just like drag it along the ground.
Cool.
So that's cool. Obviously, it's not a game, but we thought we'd mention it because it's a really
good bit of software. Yeah.
And everybody around here are nerds, so whatever.
Yeah, good bit of software. A bit of in-house telescope for free that looks good.
Looks awesome, yeah. I think it's the best application I've played with in years.
Mm. And I imagine the good thing about it is you could probably get it to a really nice view. Will it allow you to take a screenshot or take imagery? You can get the imagery off it, so that's cool.
But all the images are public, you know. It's all funded with public money, so.
Yeah, that's cool. Right, we'll see you next week.
We back on Sunday, yeah?
Yes, we will be.
Okay, back on Sunday the 25th.
Catch you guys later.